Would you turn with me to the portion of scripture we read there, John's Gospel, chapter 21, and the incident at the beginning of the chapter, but we can perhaps focus on verse 6 as the lesson that we should take from it. And he said to them, that is, Jesus said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fish. We're told in verse 14 that this is the third time that the disciples met the Lord after the resurrection. He had given clear and specific instructions as to what was going to happen a long time before. He had promised that after the death, he had foretold what was going to happen to him, the delivery to mock trial, the suffering on the cross. And he said afterwards that he was going to meet with his disciples in Galilee when after he had risen. Mark 14 and 28 tells us that. And that same intent and intimation was repeated by the figure that the woman met at the empty grave, repeating that same appointment to the disciples and specifically mentioning and Peter. Mark 16 and 7. So we have this meeting with the disciples in Galilee as vital and important for them. The sword was raised against the shepherd, and we are told that the sheep were scattered. That indeed happened. It was a fearful scattering of the Lord's people. But immediately after that was given to the disciples in Mark 14, there is this encouraging consequence that he would meet with them. Not only those that had fled, not only those that had been dispersed, but also those who had denied his Lord. Peter. And so we find here they're all gathered together. The Lord appeared to Peter privately before this. We're just given an intimation of it in Luke 24:34. And then he met with the disciples on two separate occasions. In John chapter 20, first of all, when Thomas was not present. And then later on in that same chapter when Thomas was present. And we looked at that incident last Lord's Day night. But now they've moved on and they're waiting in Galilee. When they were waiting there for that promise to be fulfilled, perhaps in a measure, not exclusively, but in a measure, they needed to support themselves. There were other factors behind that suggestion of going fishing. But they needed to support themselves, so they did what they were best at. They went fishing. There was disappointment, yes, behind that request. Uncertainty as to what was going to happen. There was a whole confusion of thinking in the minds of the disciples. And they went and did what they were sure and certain of, as well as being able to support themselves. So there was this uncertainty. What a contrast we have here in the mind of these disciples and what we looked at this morning with the single purpose that they had after Pentecost in preaching and then going out in the service of the Lord. But here, by the Sea of Tiberias in Galilee, Peter was the spokesperson for the whole group. He suggested going fishing and they all agreed with him and off they went. All night they worked and labored and fished and caught nothing. Perhaps it would have been good for us to just to listen in to the conversations that night as they toiled and as they worked, as they pulled the net, as they saw the blanks. Oh yes. The conversation would have ranged over many different topics and themes and subjects. Perhaps just the weather, perhaps the neck, perhaps this, perhaps that, but sooner or later through the night, Peter might have spoken about the way in which he fell, the way in which he experienced weeping and the penitence, and then that very personal and very private meeting with the Lord that is referred to in Luke 24. The kind of conversation that Peter might have had that night as they were fishing. An altogether different flavor would have come from Thomas's contribution on that same night in these same circumstances of fishing. But Thomas, filled with his own doubts, and would have told about the deliverance that he had from the Lord and the way in which he's now devoted to the Lord. Many of the others would have perhaps similar kind of recollections, sharing of thoughts, little snippets that stuck in their memories about the Lord when he was with them. John was the quiet and reflective one. He would have been listening to all that was going on round about him, but saying only a little. And then the night gave way to the dawn. And they turned to the shore with their empty boats. Yes, there was disappointment on the surface. That is so obvious for anyone to see. They had no fish. But there was disappointment on a far deeper level with them. Because despite all of the sharing and the talking that they would have had, even on spiritual things, as they would have shared the things the Lord had done for them, given to them, shared with them, there was a disappointment that they had no further understanding of what the Lord's purposes for them were. They had no further understanding of the things that had been happening round about them in these last few days. And so they came to the shore. They saw a figure in the distant shore. And immediately the talk was exchanged between the shore and the boat. And the way in which the Lord speaks to them in verse 5, "Children, have you any meat?" The way in which it's given to us there, it was the terms of endearment. There was affection. It was a very warm and devotional term that the Lord uses to address these people. One of the commentators says, "Lads, pals, children." Terms of endearment, the Lord speaking to his people. And the reply that he gets simply expresses the disappointment they've had. They were asked the question, "Have you got anything to eat?" And at the very end of verse 5, that simple word is a very brisk, very rough reply to the overtures from the Lord. No. Cutting them off. Stone dead. They had this disappointment that was in them and expressed by their conversation with the Lord. And then the Lord says to them in verse 6, "Cast your nets." And as soon as they did that, they had this great haul of fish. 153. Specific number given for us. They didn't recognize who it was that had given them the orders and instructions from the shore. But John, again the reflective one, John the thinking one, he remembered. He remembered perhaps Luke chapter 5 when it happened about 3 years before. And so he says to Peter, "It's the Lord." And Peter, in his impulsive way, he acts before he thinks, and a contrast with John. He took to the water. Why? Why did he take to the water like that? Perhaps it was because of the relish that he had from the very private meeting with the Lord. Remember that he had denied his Lord. Remember that he had done it with fearful words. He would have been shy of meeting the Lord. He would have been afraid of meeting the Lord unless that problem had already been dealt with and taken out of the way. And that's what we believe happened at that meeting in Luke 24 that's referred to there. So here we have the relish of that meeting expressing itself in Peter's behavior. He gets into the water. He wants to go and be with the Lord. The spiritual desire he has for more and more of the same. The more he gets, the more we get, we can understand exactly why he did it. We want more because we're satisfied with the Lord. So there we have the description of the event. What are the lessons that it has for us then? What was the lesson in it for the Lord, of the Lord for his disciples at this time? Let me suggest three or four simple thoughts. First of all, what was the background? What was the setting of these disciples of the Lord? What was their sum total and their sum experience of their dealings with the Lord in recent days? Simply, we can put it down in three ways, very quickly. They had let down the Lord. Part of the setting of this situation. They had forsaken him, they abandoned him, they denied him, they were scattered. The Lord had been left alone to walk the vine press, we are told. Peter, with all of his boasting and all of his promises, he fled, he denied the Lord. They let down the Lord, and therefore there was guilt in their behavior. Not only did they let down the Lord, but we also can say that they had learned so little. 3 years with the Lord they had been. The Lord had taught them bit by bit as a child taken by the hand and instructed and taught on one, on two, on three occasions, giving a little bit extra each time of what the Lord's purpose in life was. He accommodated them and their slowness and their dullness, and he repeated lessons to them, telling of the significance of his life and of his purpose of coming and the reason for it to die upon a cross. After the cross, to be buried and to rise again. And now they were being tested of how much they had learned and how much they had kept in their mind. And from their behavior we see that they had learned so little. Disappointment indeed in them because they had made so little progress with the Lord. Let down the Lord, learn so little. Not only that, but we can say also that there was a lack of fulfillment here with them. They thought they knew the direction and the purpose of their lives. They thought they knew the service the Lord was requiring of them and from them. They thought they knew what the kingdom of God was going to be and how it was going to be realized upon the earth. They thought they knew. But now it was all in ruins. It had all crumbled away at the cross when the Lord was dead there on the cross. It was, at the worst, a defeat, at the best, a disappointment. What now for them? A lack of fulfillment was patently obvious in their lives. That's the setting we have for these disciples then. Perhaps a setting similar for ourselves. When we review our past days, as we do from time to time, how are we done? Perhaps we can ask ourselves the very same questions that we've used there to describe their background. Have we let the Lord down? Are we slow to learn from him? Do we feel an emptiness in our Christian living as it is known to him? If that's what we feel like, if we can stand beside these disciples, then what we need is what they had, that the Lord would meet with them afresh. The setting simply set out for us. and a reflection for ourselves also. But if that's the setting of this situation, event, what was the significance of it? What was it the Lord was teaching them? What is it the Lord is teaching us? Well, we remember what John remembered. An event 3 years before. Luke's Gospel chapter 5. We're told that there were seven people here in John chapter 21 from verse 2 there. There were seven people altogether gathered by the Sea of Tiberias in Galilee. Of that seven, four of them had already been in Luke 5 with the Lord. At the very start of the work of the gospel, the very start of the public ministry of our Lord, the Lord had a very important lesson to teach them and to show them. The fishermen. They were to be fishers of men. And now that they were moving into another new phase of that work, the Lord had been with them for these 3 years. The Lord had told them what they were going to do as being fishers of men. Now the Lord was taken away from them, and they were going to enter into a new phase of the Lord's work. Does that mean that the orders were being changed? Does that mean that things were different? No. The Lord is here reinforcing the lessons of the past. We can go back to Luke's Gospel chapter 5, but the key to understanding it is in verse 10. The purpose was that they be fishers of men. This was God's purpose for them. And it's still the same now in John chapter 21. They had worked all night. It had been hard toil and hard sweat for them. But they got nothing. Nothing at all. But weary and wet. And without the Lord, it is always like that. It will always be the case without the Lord. No matter what we apply ourselves to do, we can jump and change from this to that and to the next. If it's fishing, if it's digging, if it's planting, no matter what we try, if the Lord is not with us in it, it'll always lead us to the same conclusion as they had. Disappointment and a lack of fulfillment. You see, disobedience is not ever rewarded. They went off fishing. Physically went off fishing. They went back fishing to what they knew best. And they had left to one side the lessons of Luke chapter 5 and the orders that the Lord had given to them that they were to be fishers of men. But the Lord did not leave them in that situation. Their failure is simply used to highlight His grace and His purposes for them as He repeats and reissues afresh the same orders. They are to be fishers of men and to go out and seek souls for the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that is cast into the world. That's what they're to be involved in and with. God has set the means. God has, in His own wisdom, set the means for accomplishing that purpose. The preaching of the gospel, the foolishness of preaching, is the way God has set it for extending His kingdom. And that makes us depend upon Him. But there are times when the nets are empty. There are times when the preaching has no effect. Whose fault is it? Oh, we blame the man. We blame the message. We blame the method. If only we would change and get up to date, how different things would be. But would they? Would they really be any different? God has set the means. God has appointed the way. And that's the way it has to be with us. We see in the papers today, we see from time to time surveys done amongst ministers, amongst church people, the way in which membership and attention and attendance at churches is going down. We find that there's a problem in recruiting ministers. We find that there's so many problems arising within the church and its ministry. If only we would do something different. Or change the message. Change the meeting place. Things must be different and put about. Or if only we would follow what is done today with the slick presentations and politics. If only we were to change things and get out and about like we do in business. If only. If only. It's like changing the twine of a net. It's like changing the way we cast it. We're missing the point. The point that the Lord is teaching these disciples is, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it is. But we depend upon God for blessing coming upon us. The significance of all this for the disciples, it was reinforcing and repeating and bringing home to them vividly what they had to do and what they were to be. They were to be fishers of men. A new sphere, but old orders. For ourselves, a simple lesson comes to us surely like this. We can all let things slip. We can all let things go. Things have come to us in the past. Impressions have been made upon us and we thought, well, we won't lose that. We'll always be like that. We'll always hold on to these things. They'll always stay with us. But they don't. After some time, they go and they wane in their effect upon us. After some time, these spiritual lessons and spiritual impressions drift from the center of our lives. And we begin to get involved with other peripheral things. The spiritual emphasis that we once had so sweet and dear to our soul begins to go out of focus. It gets fuzzy. It's a gray area. And we drift back into the old ways. And the Lord meets with us again. As he met with these disciples and he says, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Repeating the same lesson as we had in the past. Bringing us right back perhaps to the thing that we've forsaken and the things that we've neglected. How careful are we at keeping our spiritual lessons learned from the Lord? Applying them, believing them, holding on to them, day after day, not in a rigorous, outward, formal way, but holding on to them passionately, warm in our souls. We can so quickly let so much slip, especially in our society today, where there is so little to stimulate us and challenge us, where there is so much complacency going on round about us, where it can be relatively easy to be a Christian, and no one is going to challenge us, and nobody's going to say much against us if we let things go a little bit here and there every now and then. But the Lord will, and the Lord does know these things. And he takes us back to the beginning. Back to the beginning, as it were. And he repeats the significant lessons for us, as he repeated the significant lesson for the disciples. The setting, the significance. Thirdly, I want us to think of what I can best describe as the service. The service to be rendered. They were fishing, they were weary, they were wet. Their own strength had gone, there was disappointment, there was discouragement, they were downhearted. What did they need? The Lord, yes, was showing them His path for them. What was it they needed to do? Summed up old words, but are brought to us with fresh meaning and illustration tonight. What was it they needed to learn? Simply to obey and to depend upon the Lord. How was that brought home to them? Well, they were fishermen. You fish in the night time, not in the daytime. They were seeing the dawn approaching and the daylight breaking, and therefore they packed up their bags and they were coming home. Men of experience, men of strength, men of knowledge, how best to catch fish. This was their backyard. This is where they were at home. And yet with all of their knowledge, they had caught nothing. And now, having asked the question, what have you got? The Lord highlights the emptiness, the futility, according to their way of doing things. He brings them face to face with their need, and the way they do things don't work out. The way they've done things didn't bring anything home to them. They came home with an empty boat and disappointment in their lives. But now, having faced up to their emptiness, the Lord says, go back out now and cast where I tell you. But what does Christ know about fishing? He's the son of a carpenter. What does he know about fishing? And yet, when they went out and obeyed him, they caught 153 big fish. God, you see, will bless his people abundantly and continually. But first of all, we've oftentimes to be brought to this place, to this experience that they went through. They had to be emptied. They had to discover and learn for themselves the harshness, the hardness of disappointment. They had to go through it and live it. It wasn't enough just simply to tell them. They had to go and discover it for themselves, and that night's exercise got nothing. They had to realize this is a fool's game. This is an empty exercise. They had to be emptied of themselves and only then go out and obey. It's a hard lesson, this challenge to us as Christians. What kind of life are we living? Is it just simply getting past on the bare minimum? It once was so different, you see. We can look back and we can see how things once were so vibrant, so warm, so devotional with us in the past. But how did we lose it? Where did we lose it? When did we lose it? We need to learn again the simple spiritual lesson the Lord was teaching these disciples. For living, for service, for any aspect of commitment to the Lord or His cause, we need to do what they did. To learn, to obey, and to depend upon Him. The old hymn writer has it for us, has he not? Trust and obey. There is no other way. And then the last simple thought. Notice the way in which the Lord supplied to them or for them. Yes, they were told, this is what you're going to do. You've worked all night. You've got nothing. Your life lacks fulfillment. It's empty. As your boat and your net is empty. Now go and do it the way I'm telling you. And what happened? We find that they had more fish than they could cope with. Here they have the reward of obedience. And they should have known it in the past because it happened to them in the past. If you go back to Luke chapter 22 and verse 35, there we are told that they were sent out pair by pair. And they were sent out, they didn't have purse in their pockets, they didn't have letters, they didn't have shoes on their feet, they lacked bag or baggage. They had nothing. But did they lack everything? No, they lacked nothing. As they went out in God's name, as they went out to live and to serve for the Lord, they lacked nothing. And as we are under orders, and as we lean upon the Lord, so also there is to us the promise of provision and the promise of supply. But it comes down the path of obedience. They went out and they cast the net and they caught 153 fish. What an encouragement that would have been to them. From the smallest, building up to the bigger things. Well, if that's what happened when we obeyed the Lord and went out and cast the net and got 153 fish, and now the Lord is telling us to cast the net into the society and the world and to be fishers of men, if that's what He did for us there in the Sea of Galilee, what will He not do for us when we go out into society and to Corinth and to Athens and to Rome? We can follow that same pattern for ourselves, surely. We can engage with the same attitude. We must have the same obedience and trust. And as we do so, we can go out with the same faith and expectation upon the Lord, to the Lord, to provide for our every need. God's work, done God's way, will not lack God's support. How long has it been then? We can ask ourselves the question as we close tonight. Days? Weeks? Perhaps longer? How long has it been since we've known the sweetness of the presence of the Lord with our soul? The Lord maybe is talking to us and He says, this is the way. Walk in it. And we need to recapture that simple lesson of obedience and dependence on the Lord. We need to meet Him for the first time. And if we have drifted or let things go, we've got to have Him meet for us the second and the third and a fresh time. And the Lord will show to us just how empty life can be. Yes, it might be busy. Oh, there was nothing idle. There was nothing laid back about a night's work. It was hard graft. It was work. Just the same way as we've got hard graft, we've got work. But we ask ourselves the question, what is it producing? What does it get us? They were working hard and they had nothing. Our lives can be just as empty, despite all of the routines and all of the habits we have. We have to be convicted of our need. We need to learn from the Lord of our emptiness and trust and lean upon Him, so that there would be that freshness of heaven about us, so that we might live constantly in His presence, so that we might always appreciate day by day His mercy and His grace to us sinners as we are. The way in which the Lord taught them a new lesson with the same old substance, to be fishers of men. And when they went down that road and obeyed, the blessings they experienced. Perhaps we've let things drift and let things go. We've tried this and that and another. We've become too involved in this, that and the other. There are so many different ways the Lord can be applying this to each one of us, to every one of us. But let us see the principle and the road He set before them and sets before us, of obedience and of dependence upon Him. And when we go down that road, the Lord will not leave us to ourselves, but His promises of provision, of protection, of His very presence with us. Go back again to the Great Commission given in Matthew 28. Go unto all nations and make disciples of all peoples. That's what was said to the disciples and to the church and to us. And then go on to read the next phrase. And lo, I am with you when we go down that road of making disciples and reaching out with the Lord to others, we find we're not alone, but He's always with us on the path of obedience. Let us pray. Gracious God and Lord, we bless Thy name for the example given unto us of Jesus Christ our Saviour, who went in obedience upon that path set by Thee for Him, taking Him to the cross, there giving His life, the Saviour in the place of the sinner. So, Lord, may we, as we have the courage and the strength given by Thyself, seek to always have that same element and feature of obedience about our lives, given to Thee. And may we know in that commitment Thine abiding presence with us. Lord, bless us, and Thy word and Thy ministry to us this day and tonight. Seal it to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 67. Lord, bless and pity us, shine on us with Thy face, that the earth Thy way and nations all may know Thy saving grace. Let people praise Thee, Lord, let people all be praised. Oh, let the nations be glad in songs, their voices raise. Thou just and people judge, on earth rule nations all. Let people praise Thee, Lord, let them praise Thee, both great and small. The earth her fruit shall yield, our God shall blessings send. God shall us bless, men shall Him fear, and to earth's utmost end.
Let the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you all.